Message on your heart, and you walk into the house of God, and Sister Mary's playing the song that just goes right with the message. In the choir, one of the songs we use as an illustration is sung during choir practice. God just gives you a piece about a message that you're preaching. Amen. Turn in your Bibles with us tonight into Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Thankful for each one that's come this way tonight. Thankful for the faithful ones that are in our church, the faithful ones that come out and support the church and the meetings. And we trust that as you come, God will strengthen you and help you through the word tonight. Psalm 78, verse number 9, says, "The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them." The children of Israel, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. I'd rather die on the battlefield than turn my back on Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'd rather die of fighting than die a coward. Now, let me explain something to you. Sometimes a good run is better than a poor stand. There's times to back off. There's times to back away. Any prudent commander of an army knows that. There was times when God told his people to wait, to stand still. That when God says it's time to go to battle, it's time to go to battle. When it's time to fight, it's time to fight. As that song, for some reason, has been on my mind, "I've come too far to turn back." Here for, my wife can tell you, I've been singing it all around the house the last 2 or 3 weeks. And God laid this message on my heart. And we come in tonight, Sister Mary's playing it on the piano. It had to be sung tonight. Amen. Amen. I believe God has something he's trying to tell us. When God puts that something like that in front of you so many times, he's trying to tell us something. Amen. And we need to grasp what he's trying to tell us and what he's trying to share with us. As we think about these who have turned their back and have run in the time of battle and were afraid to stand, we think of those who have stood faithful, the martyrs. And if you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs and see what some of the martyrs of our faith stood for, just for the cause and just for the privilege of proclaiming Christ, you'd be amazed. And you think, well, I'm thankful we live in a country where that's never going to happen and that's never going to be the case. You don't know how close you are. Amen. Virginia passed some really foolish Second Amendment laws, and they went through the General Assembly. I mean, that makes it almost illegal to possess any type of a firearm. If you're 16 years old, you can go to an abortion clinic and get an abortion without your parents. But if you're 16 years old, you can't go hunting without your parent being with you. The same people that pass those laws are trying to push through in the Virginia legislature now laws that make it illegal for you to criticize the politicians that are enacting these foolish laws. And it'll probably get passed. People don't realize what they're giving up. It won't be long before, if they're able to make you hush your speech, hush your criticism, that they'll begin to attack your religion, your right to worship. They've been trying to do it for years, and we've always heard about coming up in Iowa, it coming up in California, and different things. But whoever dreamed it would happen in Virginia, the Old Dominion, one of the bastions of the Bible Belt that brags about being part of the Bible Belt. Whoever thought it would happen right in our own back door. But friends, it's happening at an alarming rate. It's happening, and we don't realize that it's going on around us. In our songbook tonight, Jim turned to page 196. The copyright on the song, he's talking about how old it was. The copyright on this song is 1975. This song was written roughly 150 years ago. It was written by the testimony of an Indian who had been converted. When the revival broke out in Wales, and they began sending missionaries by the droves out of England in different places, and they sent them into India, and the northern part of India, and Assam is a region that was inhabited by many small tribes with many small princesses that set over their little princedoms and their little tribes, and they were just like the Indonesians and a lot of the people that we heard about in those days. They were headhunters, and it was their custom to take the heads of their enemies. And young men, before they could get married, had to have heads. And you didn't want your daughter to marry a man that didn't have several heads already to his acclaim and seven heads already in his trophy, because it proved how much of a man that he was. And in the midst of these heathens, Christian missionaries were able to come in. And finally, after several years, they were able to lead one man in a village to Christ. And that man won his family to Christ. And this family stood out, and they stood contrary to everything that their culture had taught them. And finally, the chief, the prince of that village, got angry because of this man's testimony of converting to Christianity and his devotion to Christ. And he brought him before the village, and he brought his family out, and he told him to renounce Christ or he would pay a horrible price. And the man said that he would not renounce Christ. And he spoke these words to that chief. He said, "I have decided to follow Jesus, and I won't turn back." And when he did so, the chief gave him another warning, and he took his two little sons, and he removed them from him and pulled them down in front of the crowd. And he said, "Renounce your Jesus, renounce this Christ that you have claimed, or we will kill your sons." And he said, "Though none go with me, I'm going to follow Jesus. I won't turn back." Amen. And at that, the chief gave the command for his archers to shoot his two sons. And they shot his sons to death in front of him. And the chief said, "Now, will you recant?" He said, "I can't." He said, "I can't." He said, "The world behind me and the cross before me, I won't turn back." And because of those words, they took his wife, and she faced the same fate that his children did. And he still yet refused to yield, and the chief had him killed. But the words of that man, "I have decided to follow Jesus, and I won't turn back," just played in his heart and in his mind. Though none go with me, I still will follow. I will follow. I won't turn back. The world behind me, the cross before me, I won't turn back. Those simple words from that simple peasant villager as he maintained his faith in Jesus was the basis for this song being penned, the song being shed. See, we don't know the depths that people have had to go to stand for their faith. Somebody hurts our feeling because they call us a holy roller, and we cower away. Some people tell us it might cost us our job, and we cower away. God has set before us the account of people that had everything they needed, and yet they turned away. Let's get emboldened. Let's get strengthened. Let's remember what we have. See, when you look at that verse number 9, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Look at their heritage, the children of Ephraim. How many know who Ephraim was? 4 or 5 of you. Ephraim was one of the sons. He was the youngest son of Joseph. But he was the son that Jacob placed the greater blessing upon against Joseph's protest. He was one of the sons of Joseph that was promised Joseph's tribe. You notice when you read about the tribes of Israel, you never read about the tribe of Joseph. You read about the tribe of Manasseh. You read about the tribe of Ephraim. They were Joseph's two sons. Jacob promised Joseph that his family would receive a double portion of the blessing, a double portion of the inheritance. He had a great heritage. Joseph was Jacob's son. Jacob was Isaac's son. Isaac was Abraham's son. These were the ones. These were the forefathers. These were the patriarchs that the promise had been delivered to. God had promised them that in person to each one of them, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that their children would receive the inheritance that he had set aside. They had a great heritage. They had a great blessing. The children of Ephraim had everything that anybody could want. And yet, in the day of battle, the Bible says they turned back. They turned away and ran in fear. They had this great heritage that we would just admire. This great heritage that we would love to be able to claim. Well, friends, we got a heritage to claim. I'm akin to Abraham. I'm akin to Isaac. I'm akin to Jacob because I've been grafted in to the commonwealth of Israel. Amen. I'm a Jew that wasn't born a Jew. Amen. I become a Jew by the circumcision of the heart and by trust in Jesus. And I have a heritage of a father that sits on high, a heritage of a father. Father that said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Look at what God says to Israel in Isaiah 58:14. He says, "Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Because God had made a promise, because God had given him everything that he promised that he would give him, Ephraim had a heritage. Ephraim had a possession. Ephraim had an inheritance in Israel because of God's promise. We have an inheritance that's been given to us that have trusted Jesus as our personal Savior. It's an inheritance that we don't have because we deserve it. It's an inheritance we have because He promised it. Amen. God told Israel back, I think it's in Deuteronomy, He said, God didn't choose you, and you weren't chosen because you were better than anybody else. God didn't choose you because of who you are. He chose you because of who He is. Aren't you glad He chose us one day? Aren't you glad He made the decision to come and lay down His life for us one day? And aren't you glad that we have a great stake in everything? They had a possession in Israel. They had a great stake in what they had inherited. And their possession was theirs. And they had an obligation and a stake to guard it. But they turned away. They turned their backs. They call us Christians. That alone gives us a great stake. Amen. We bear the name of Christ Jesus. And if we're going to bear His name, we ought to bear it honorably. Amen. You remember when Ahab went to Naboth and said, I want your vineyard. Naboth said, I can't give you my vineyard. I can't sell you this. This is my inheritance. This is my heritage. This was what my fathers received and what my fathers have given to me. And Ahab said, look, I'll buy it from you or I'll give you a better one. There's nothing better than what the Lord has given you. And you can't find anything better. And when you get to have him and you get to claim his promises and claim his name, amen, we ought to stand up and do so proudly. Amen. Do so honorably. Do so fearfully. Amen. Because we have a great stake in this thing. Look at what's at stake. Look at what was at stake for them. The inheritance that they could pass down to their children. It was at stake. Now, we don't know where in the Bible. No one can definitively take you back to another place in the Bible where you can read about this time that Ephraim turned their back in the day of battle. But God records it here for us to know. And all we need to know was they had a great heritage, but yet they turned their back. They had a great heritage, but yet they fell. They had a great heritage, but they faced a weakness. They faced a fear that they couldn't handle on their own. You ever have something that you had to face and you cowered away from it instead of facing it? I think we all do and we all have. But as God's people, we need to claim his promises and stand on his promises. Look, they had the great heritage, and then we see, we can look at their great strength. They were armed and carrying bows. Their strength wasn't in what they had. Their strength was in who they were. And not so much in who they were, but whose they were. Amen? God told them he would drive their enemies out before them. But they had to do a little something on their own. And when they stopped driving the enemies out, God stopped doing anything for them. God didn't do it for them. It was their responsibility. And they needed to do it, but they had everything that they needed. In this day of battle that was talking about right here in verse 9, whatever it was and whenever it was and wherever it was, they had everything they needed if they would just turn to the Lord to find it. Amen. They wouldn't need their bows. They wouldn't need the arms that they had if they would only trust the Lord. You remember when Jehoshaphat had to face the million-man army that came against him? What did God tell them? He said, y'all just come out to see the battle. You don't have to do anything. All you all got to do is come out just to watch what I'm going to do and what I can do. You know, sometimes we think we have nothing and we fail to realize that we have everything. Amen. We face ridicule, we face problems, and we don't have the right words, we don't have the good comebacks, and we don't have this, and we don't have that, and we don't have the right scripture, and we can't remember this, and we can't remember that, and we think that we're losing, or we're losers, or we're not quite up to par with everybody or everything else, and then we fail to realize that we got Jesus, we got all we need. Amen. We got Jesus, and we just need to back off and say, Jesus, I can't do no more. You know, many times, many problems I face as a pastor, I don't go and confront it myself because I found out that when I get into something, I can really mess it up. Amen? But I can pray about it, and the majority of the time, God will deal with it. And you know, when God deals with it, it just works out so much better. You ever notice that? You ever had a problem with somebody and instead of going to them and getting in their face and everything else, you just begin to pray about it? Isn't that what the Lord said to do? Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, pray for your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you. And he said, in doing so, it's like casting heaps of coal upon their head. When God deals with a problem, when God deals with a situation, He does it so much better than we do. Sometimes as God's people, we fail to realize that we have everything that we need, and we're not satisfied with just having Jesus. We want this and we want that, and we want something else. And if we had a better program in our church, we don't need a better program. We just need Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. If we had a better preacher, you don't need a better preacher. You just need Jesus. Amen. If we had better classes and better opportunities and better things going on and different things, we need things for the people Joycey's age. But we don't need that. We got Jesus. Amen. We need things more for the teenagers. Well, teenagers, I got news for you. If our things is what it's going to take to keep you, then somebody else is going to have some better things up the road and they're going to take you. Amen. If you got Jesus, you got what you need. And if we got Jesus, we'll have all the things that we need. Amen. We will do what it takes and we'll minister the way that it needs to. But all the programs and all the things and all the special this and the special that isn't going to do what Jesus can do. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's good that we have. I'm glad we got a youth group. Man, it looked like they had a ball last night. They hauled 12 of them. Josh was 12 of them up there to go snow tubing and stuff. And it looks like they had a great time. I'm glad they did. Amen. Amen. And I'm glad I'm not the one that had to take them. Because I'd have got up there and been sliding down that mountain and I'd been walking around like this today. Amen. But it's not that any of that's wrong. But we got to remember that if Jesus isn't what's in it, and Jesus isn't the force that's behind it, nothing's going to work. Yeah. Amen. They had everything they needed. Look at back in Isaiah chapter 54 in verses 15 to 17. The Lord says, "Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake." Why is that? Because they belong to him. Amen. "Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. I have created the waster to destroy." But look at what he says in verse number 17 of Isaiah 54. "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shalt thou condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Their strength lay in whose they were. They thought they had their arms, they thought they had their bows, and they thought that's what they needed, but all they needed to remember was they had the Lord, and as long as they had the Lord, they had everything they need. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world." Amen. And I like that old song. It says, "Who is on the Lord's side among you?" Amen. If you're on the Lord's side, you're on the right side, and you don't have to worry about the enemy that's before you, because that's the Lord's problem. Amen. Your responsibility is claiming what you have. What do you have? You have every promise that God's word has made you. Now you got to understand, not every promise that was made to Israel is made to the church. But praise God, we got the promises that have been made to the church. Amen. We can sing standing on the promises. And if we don't believe it, we might as well just keep our mouths shut. Amen. But if we can claim those promises of God, they'll never leave us nor forsake us. If we can claim those promises for spiritual direction, if we can claim those promises for comfort and strength, if we can claim those promises, we find out that there's nothing in this world that we have to fear. Amen. That's why a man can look when his children and his wife are being killed and saying, "I've decided to follow Jesus. I'll not turn back. Though none go with me, I'll still go on. I'll not turn back. The world behind me, the cross before me, I'll not turn back." And lay down his life. and become a testimony to a heathen people that caused one of the greatest conversions, one of the greatest revivals that you could read about. Just think about this. Because a man and his family that trusted Christ were willing to lay down their life, hundreds and thousands of people have been converted to the cause of Christ. And then last, look at their shame. They had a great heritage. They had everything they need. But they didn't have the fortitude to stand. Turned back in the day of battle. Kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. Forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. They turned back in the day of battle. I know there's times I've turned back. I'm ashamed of it. Times I've turned back and I'd rather it not be remembered. But praise His name, I'm glad that when we put it under the blood, it's forgotten, it's forgiven. Amen. It's remembered no more. I'm glad the only one that remembers it is me. Amen. I'm the only one that keeps bringing it up. The devil keeps reminding me. Amen. And it's always fresh in my mind. Well, look at that. You didn't even testify to that individual when you had the chance. You call yourself a Christian. You didn't take a stand when you should have, and you call yourself a Christian. I'm ashamed of it. I'm ashamed at my spiritual record when I look back for all the good things I've done. Praise God. I know there's so many things that are there that I'm not proud of. And I hate to go walking back down that memory lane and saying, yeah, I failed here. Yeah, I failed there. I look at yesterday, how many times I failed. I can look at the day before, how many times I didn't do something I should have done. Amen. There's nothing I have to brag in, but I can brag on Jesus. Amen. He's never been unfaithful. He's never let me down. He's never turned back in the day of trouble. When He prayed, my Father, if it be possible to let this cup pass from me, He also said, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. Even though He knew the horror and the pain that He was going to go through, He wasn't willing to give up, and He wasn't willing to lay down, and He wasn't willing to turn His back. He done just what He said He was going to do. God has promised His hand upon them, and they turned back. God had promised them a victory if they would just praise Him and worship Him and honor Him with their life. But yet they turned back. They had brought reproach upon God's name. They had brought a blotch upon them the cause of the Lord for all of eternity. A blotch that can't be removed. How do you remember when God wanted to destroy them? And Moses said, Lord, don't do that, because the other nations will say, because He wasn't able, He done this. And God said, Moses, you're right. And He said, I'm going to spare them. He said, I'm going to let them go. Even though they had failed, God was still willing to go the distance with them when He realized what it would do to His name. Do you realize that we, every time we fail God, bring a reproach upon His name. Every time we lose our temper. Amen. Every time we let our tongue loose when we should have kept it bridled. Every time we let our feelings and our emotions override the spiritual direction. Amen. We bring a reproach upon the cause of Christ. We turn our back on Him. So many times, over in Luke in chapter 9, a message in and of itself, verses 57 to 62. It says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. We don't hear no more from that young man. He said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. We don't hear no more about that young man. Don't know where he went. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Man, that's a hard, hard saying. That's a hard thing to deal with. But they turned their back in the day of battle. The psalmist said, oh, you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me. Demas has turned his back, having loved this present world. Many have fallen and many have turned back. But let us remember the heritage that we have. Let us remember whose we are. Let us not forget the blessings that He's poured upon us. Let us not forget the things that He's done before. Let us not forget the battles that He's won, the victories that we've had. Not because of who we are, but because of who He is. Amen. And because of who we belong to. Amen. Let us not lose sight of the victory that's ahead of us if we persevere. In Revelation chapter 3, we've been studying about the church in Philadelphia. God promised the blessings that He promised upon them because they had persevered. Not because they were, but because of what they had done. Not because they were getting in because of what they could do, but because of what they have done. Victories are won by those who will persevere. Amen. Souls are won by those who will persevere. Families are changed by those who will persevere. Churches grow because of those who will persevere. It's not easy. Amen. But just remember this. Jim's dad told me. Years ago, I've never forgot it. He said, Dennis, remember this. He said, the shepherd does not produce sheep. Sheep produce sheep. Amen. The shepherd feeds the sheep. Yes. Amen. And sometimes sheep, it's hard to persevere. But keep persevering. Keep engaging in the battle. When you go over into Ephesians chapter number 6, and you see the armor that's given the Christian. None of it is to protect the back. It's all to protect the front, to protect the heart, to protect the mind. And the weapon that He gives us is the most powerful weapon this world has ever. Man, all these nuclear bombs and everything they have don't have the power. Amen. That's right here. In this word. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Stand up and sing the last verse. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Heads bowed, eyes closed, or altars open. Do you need to come tonight?